to Friday, the 16th day of December. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull. We got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass. And last night, got it. Nailed a Thursday night special. Brock Purdy, pretty good still, right? That's never going to get old, is it? The pretty good stuff. Like, that's never... Is it old to you already? You done with it, Angel?
It was old to me 2 weeks ago.
You got to have fun with this stuff, man. Life's too short. You got to have fun with last names and everything. But did you see his, like, 47 pump fakes before he threw it to Kittle to get that long touchdown?
Yeah, I think that was by design.
Yeah, but it was well done. Like, he's carrying out exactly what they're looking for with this offense. They clinched the NFC West with that victory over the Seattle Seahawks. And now the Seahawks are in trouble, suddenly. I mean, they made it interesting. They, made it a one-score game. Geno Smith didn't look great. And I was thinking, man, are we gonna have Drew Lock time? But then he got it going, ended up with a 90 quarterback rating. He was 31 of 44 for 238 yards. So he ended up having a pretty good game overall. But what do you make of that? If you're Seattle, is Geno Smith your guy? They're 7-7 now. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs after that loss. Still have a shot, of course, but I'm curious about that. If they're going to stick with Geno Smith next season, or with that, they're going to have number two, number three pick, unless the Broncos go off and rattle off some wins here to end the season, but they're going to have a really good pick. So we'll see if Seattle, maybe they wait, though, until next season, because the crop of quarterbacks is going to be a little bit better.
Maybe. I mean, if you're really in love with Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud this year, if not, you're going to be in a bidding battle for Caleb Williams next year.
That's the thing, and that's why it sucks for so many people. For Caleb Williams, it sucks for him. I guess he's got to play another year. But if you're Seattle, there he is. You might be able to get him, although Houston
will probably take a quarterback.
Yeah.
Most likely. If not a quarterback, you look at maybe Will Anderson Jr., the linebacker from Alabama. He's consensus top five pick probably, so we'll see if they go quarterback.
Well, now the Seahawks are sitting at 7-7 behind the Giants, locking up the seventh spot so far. They're sitting at 7-5-1, so you're going to need some help now. And you're going to need the Commanders and the Giants. That's your only shot. Well, I mean, Tampa Bay, 6-7, but they're leading their division. So they'll get if they can hang on to it, somebody's going to maybe squeeze into the playoffs with a below 500 record in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to get the Dallas thing. They'll probably be the other NFC East team. I don't know if Washington or New York can keep that momentum going. Detroit is starting to come up a little bit, so... NFC is definitely interesting after the top four.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's going to be a fun race. And now we got some big games coming up. We'll break into the NFL playoff picture that does not involve the Denver Broncos. Broncos are mathematically out after that loss to Kansas City. It's weird, man. I mean, what did you predict the Broncos record to be? I forgot. What did you say they would be?
I think I said like 10 or 11 wins.
We all were pretty. Everybody was. Everybody
I thought
was
they,
high
I was
on this
a little
team.
Down on them than you guys were, just because I didn't think the team was going to be that, was already that talented plus Russ. But yeah, I think 10, 11 wins was probably right around there.
I think I was at 10 or 11, too. Who would have thought at this point, for both the Cardinals and the Broncos, you're looking at this matchup this weekend, your quarterbacks are likely out, Kyler's out. We don't know about Russell Wilson yet. He's going through the protocol process, but my Method Flow Products poll question of the day, if Russell Wilson clears concussion protocol, should he play on Sunday? And I am kind of torn on this. If Russ was better this year and the Broncos were just bad in every other area, maybe their defense was bad and they were moving the ball, they were losing games, like kind of like they lost to Kansas City, they were losing games like that. But you still went and said, yeah, Russ actually was pretty good. He's not the problem. Then I might have said, yeah, you don't need to play him anymore because you know what you have in Russ. But you still don't know what you have. You don't know. I want to see, again, if he's healthy, I would go for it. I would play him if he's comfortable, if the Broncos are comfortable with it. But you want to try to see if you can build something here. You know Hackett, who's been very cautious with injuries, would like Russell Wilson to play. This game is for, he's coaching for his job. If he's not gone already in the minds of George Payton and the Walter Penner group, all of that. I don't know. I mean, can he salvage his job? I'm kind of the one, kind of this week especially, going back and forth, but I'm thinking, you know, if everything we're hearing about Russell Wilson is true, that he does have a hard time connecting with people or whatever, or people have a hard time connecting with him, that you run it back. But if you go get blown out by the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, then I'm going to go right back to, okay, this just isn't working. And now you got Brett Rippon in. So I don't know how much you want to base. If Brett Rippon starts, I don't know how much you want to use this game in any of the thought process going forward.
So I was just thinking the last time Russ missed a game was against the Jets. Very next game was Jacksonville.
Yeah.
He got a win, and
he looked better. He looked better in the Jacksonville game. Last time Denver won.
Give him another week off, even if he does clear, give him another week off and say, hey, last three games, Christmas, and then two divisional games, go out and just finish off.
Yeah, maybe. Because then you at least rest him one more week. Then you hopefully you're not setting yourself up for long-term issues with Russell Wilson. And then you still have a sample size of games that you can work through. Again, I know this is a different circumstance, but I keep thinking this is very similar to what happened with Drew Lock at the end of his rookie year with Denver. Is you weren't good, but you found some momentum. I mean, think about that, dude. What was that, 3 years ago? Broncos country was pretty high on Drew Lock, and even not high on Vic Fangio, but they were like, oh, this could work. And so that's where I look at this situation, and I do think that it's similar.
Is it crazy to think the Broncos could go 3-1 in this last stretch?
What are they at? The Cardinals this weekend.
At the Rams.
And then at the Rams, who are bad.
At the Chiefs. Home against the Chargers.
And the Chargers are always going to let you in it. They're always going to do something weird.
And the Chargers might be fighting for a playoff spot at that point.
The Chiefs might. Could the Chiefs have everything theoretically locked up by the time they play?
I think they could lock up the West.
So they're still going to be fighting. Because they're 10-3, and so are the Bills. So they're going to have two more games before they take on Denver?
See, Chiefs already beat the Chargers twice. Beat the Broncos, obviously. Beat the Raiders. So they're undefeated in the division right now, and they'll finish off the season with the Broncos and at the Raiders.
Who do they have this weekend?
Texans.
They'll win that game. The Bills and Dolphins game's interesting. If your Dolphins pull off, which I think would be an upset, if the Dolphins beat Buffalo, you put Buffalo at 10-4, Kansas City would be at 11-3, and then get another win the following weekend. They might be able to. And again, the AFC West is one thing, but the fact is the Chiefs and the Bills will be fighting for that number one spot right now, that first round bye. So what's interesting on that game is if the Chiefs somehow lock this thing, if they win the next two games and the Bills happen to lose the next two games, I think the Chiefs would have it locked down. So how much will they be playing for when they go up against the Broncos? Odds are they're going to be playing. They're going to need to be playing because I think Buffalo is probably going to win this weekend. And I think the Chiefs are going to win this weekend. So you're going to be in this battle probably to the end between those two teams for the top spot. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. So what do you guys think? If Russell Wilson is clear as these protocols, should he play on Sunday? Because this could be a win. And if it's Brett Rippon in there, It's like 50-50. I mean, if Russ plays, I'm just going to go off of what they did in the last game against Kansas City and use that momentum and run all over the Cardinals. I don't know. Again, I say that every week. Thought they'd beat the Jets. Thought they'd beat the Panthers. Thought they'd beat the Raiders. And it wasn't the case. But then again, I didn't think they would make it a close game and almost pull off a crazy miracle against Kansas City. So I'm just going to go off of that, though. If Russ plays, you're going to have that momentum. I think we're starting to see something. And then you go beat the Cardinals. You get your fourth win. You go beat the Rams. You get your fifth win. And suddenly I think Broncos country is going, how the hell did we turn out five wins this season? And then maybe you beat the Chargers at the end. And if you win six games, if you find a way to win six games, which those are all three of those games outside of the Chiefs, it's not the craziest thing in the world to think the Broncos could win those three games.
No, I mean, you're not really scared of the Rams. Yeah, they got Baker Mayfield, Donald maybe back at that point, but they're a very beatable team.
It's Christmas. Maybe that offsets things.
Maybe that does something for you. The Chargers, if they're vying for a playoff spot, you could play spoiler for them, keep them out of the playoffs another year. You know, there's still a lot of things you can still walk away feeling positive about this season. But if you go 3-1 to finish, that's great momentum in the offseason.
If you go 3-1, he has to be back, right?
Yes.
2-2?
Who are you losing to is the question. If you lose to NFC teams, it doesn't really do much. But if you lose to divisional opponents, that's hard.
You're probably going to – if you go 2-2, my guess would be you lose to both the Chiefs and the Chargers. Chargers fighting for a playoff spot. But you go 2-2, you get five wins out of this thing when – several weeks ago, we were like, I don't see another win on the schedule for Denver. So 2-2, no. If they, assuming they lose, so you're basing it off who they lose to. So
yes.
If they go 2-2, but they happen to beat the Chiefs, which ain't happening, and then the Chargers, you would say he's back?
Yeah, I think if you beat the Cardinals, go on the road and beat the Rams, and maybe you get blown out by two touchdowns against the Chiefs, and then keep it close with the Chargers, and maybe they win on a field goal, then it's a conversation. But I think how you lose is more important than necessarily
so no
who you're losing to. Yeah, no blowouts.
Save for maybe the Chiefs.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's why.
And then also how Russ kind of plays with that.
If he plays, assuming he plays. There's an outside chance that you shut him down this game, and then maybe you just say, we're going to shut him down for the rest of the season. If Russ was good this year, like I started the segment with, if Russ was good this year, and the Broncos were mathematically eliminated for playoffs. I know that seems like that would be a hard thing to achieve, but I could see a scenario where they're like, well, we already know what we got with Russ, so we might as well just shut him down. There's no need to get him hurt. You don't want to have do what happened to Kyler Murray. Tear your ACL late in the season. Now that means you're going to be out a good chunk of next year, too. I mean, Kyler Murray, can we expect him back next season?
It's tough to say, really.
That's the thing.
Because if you're not... He's out until next December, and they're not in a playoff position. You might not see him until 2025.
You might not.
Or 2024.
Sometimes those ACL things are crazy, man. And when they do it early, I remember when Vaughn did it with the Broncos. He did it in training camp. Then you go, okay, well, you're out this season. Then you're back the next season. But if you do it, Kyler Murray just did this thing. And was that Monday night?
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a good chance he misses 75%, if not more, of the season going forward. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. What do you think? If Russell Wilson clears concussion protocols, should he play on Sunday? And I'm already getting people saying, well, isn't that what it's for? If he clears it, doesn't that mean he's going to play? Yeah, theoretically, but you're not in a playoff position here. Do you want to risk it? If he clears it all, and we're all still learning about concussions. We all think that, 7 days, he clears all the stuff and he's good. 10 years from now, we may go back and go, dude, actually, you get a concussion, you shouldn't play for like a month. I mean, it's changed over time. We used to get a concussion and then the guy would be good to play in the game.
No, and I think the awareness around concussions is obviously heightened this season. But, every player is different. They respond differently. Their bodies respond differently, It's hard to say if optics play a role in it, but if he hasn't been able to practice with the ones or get reps with the starters for, even more than 2 days, it's hard to justify, hey, just go out there and try to play.
Yeah.
Granted, we saw Baker Mayfield go in off 48 hours of work and win a game.
And that's what – I think that part was what was frustrating for Broncos fans, because it's like, how much time do you really need? You're Russell Wilson. You're supposed to be a borderline Hall of Famer. And then here comes Baker Mayfield, who's averaged, at times maybe you could say he's good. But for the most part, he's an average quarterback. He's kind of in that backup world where he could be a starter, but he's probably going to be a backup. And then he comes in with that little time with a team that has nothing to play for, and they're down, and they come all the way back and win. What was it, 16-3, come back and win. And then you go, why couldn't Russell Wilson do that? Smitty says there are no old running quarterbacks. I guess. I mean, the older Russ gets, are we going to see what we saw against Kansas City? I mean, Russ almost ran for 54 yards rushing? Something like that? Are we going to see that very often? Let's assume next year you run this thing back and you get healthy. Even then, are you going to see Russell Wilson take off and run like that? I think he still can. I just...
Well, if you ensure the offensive line, you won't have to.
If you can get a good offensive line and you can really develop your running game with your running backs, then yeah, you won't have to worry about Russ Haffick needing to take off for 20 yards. You can do the read options and the play action boots and get him rolling out, and maybe he just runs for 5 yards, maybe 10 on occasion, but he's not overdoing it. He's not having to dive into a ton of defensive players. You can play it safe. You can open up the field where there are more wide open runs, and that's obviously where he is. Now, he's not going to be a creator. He's not going to be like Lamar Jackson and these other running quarterbacks that the plays are designed for him to create something. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and we'll recharge the good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. But let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. No Isaiah Stevens show today. They are practicing at 11, and then they're going to get set to go for the big weekend against St. Mary's coming up. That is a tough defensive team. Dude, their defense is solid. So we'll see what Colorado State can do. 22 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We got a little bowl action right now on, Jel. Look at that. Bowl games are popping. Which one is this? The hometown lender Bahama Bowl? Bahamas Bowl? We got Miami, Ohio, and UAB. You're liking UAB in this one.
Yeah, both my sisters graduated from UAB. It's the University of Alabama of Birmingham.
There you go.
Let's go Blazers.
That's all I needed.
Got a cool mascot.
They got a very cool mascot, so that's what I look at in these games.
I mean, you can't go wrong with a dragon.
How do you... No, best mascot in all of sports. Based on a real creature. How do you feel about bowl season? I mean, you're in Alabama, guys, so you're not playing most of the time. You're not playing in the Tostitos, you know, Takis Bowl or whatever, the Cheetos Bowl. You're playing in the playoffs typically, or the most meaningful bowl games. How do you feel about bowl season?
I've always liked bowl season because I'm just a football fan. I just like being able to, during this time,
more
just
games.
Put a game on. It's 11:30 on a Friday, and we got football on. I love that. For schools like, you know, UAB in Miami, Ohio, it's good for, you know, publicity and, you know, getting your names out there and stuff like that. I don't really like when players opt out, you know, if it's a meaningless game for a bit. Like, if it's a Power 5 school playing in a pretty meaningless bowl game, and their players opt out, I don't really like that because it takes away the shine of what bowl games should be. It's advertising your team, your program, your athletes.
So you have a problem with guys that are in bowl games like this that are thinking, oh, I'm going to go to the NFL. I don't want to risk it here.
Right.
So like Christian McCaffrey back in the day with Stanford.
Yeah. And the other option, Jerry Jeudy played in his last bowl game.
He did play in it?
He did.
See, and I don't have an issue with it if it's one of these bowl games. If it's playoffs and you're opting out, then
unless you're like a guaranteed top 10 pick, play.
What if you get hurt?
You get hurt. It's football. It happens.
It's a meaningless game, though.
What if you get hurt in training camp in the NFL?
It's true, but this is a meaningless game.
Is it meaningless?
And you're not getting paid. Yeah, to me it is. I mean, I've always
said,
like,
it's not meaningless for the program.
I go to the bowl game, but I don't care about whether you win the bowl game.
Okay.
Like, win 6 games, great. And then you have a bowl game, you're in it. I've never really cared about bowl season to me outside of the playoffs. and the big bowls and stuff is like the CIT tournaments and the NIT tournaments and all that. I mean, it's great. Take advantage of it. Go play more basketball. But I'm not. I don't care. It doesn't do anything for me. You know, these two dudes right now. Look at them. Look at them. Angels are hurt. They're done. They might not play ever again.
Never seen that before.
But I'm saying, like, if you get hurt in training camp, well, you've already signed an NFL deal.
Sure.
I mean, here you haven't signed a deal.
Kids are making money, though.
If he tear, yeah, now they're making money. How, what do you think that NIL money is like at UAB?
Probably not a lot.
Probably.
Do you think the Bulls give them something?
Like, they, don't they give them, like, an iPod or something like
they'll
that?
They'll give them, like, a goodie bag. Like, here's an Apple Watch that I know you probably have 15 of.
Yeah. I mean, I love what they're doing, because I've been saying this for years with the playoffs. Just make the playoff games the bowl games. Now we're talking. Now we're playing. And so those 12 teams that are in, if you don't play, then I don't – that's silly. Because you're in the playoffs. You have a chance to win a chance. Even if you make the playoffs, that's huge. Because you're going to get to hang some kind of a banner, I'm sure, that says you went to the playoffs.
For a bowl game. You have a trophy for a bowl game.
Yeah, you can hang a banner for anything if you want. You can hang,
Colts
hang a banner.
Isn't the AFC finalist?
Yes. You can hang a banner for winning four games.
Oh, you could hang a banner for not even winning a championship at UCF.
Oh, that was so dumb. That was the demise of Scott Frost.
Always drive me crazy.
That was the beginning of the end for Scott Frost.
Because that was the same year Bama had had one loss and still won the championship. And they said, no, UCF is the true champion.
They said that, yeah.
Stupid.
I agree with you.
How's
on
your
that.
Program now?
I agree. Yeah, well,
have
how
fun
are
with
you
Gus
now?
Malzahn.
Where's Scott Frost now? What's he doing?
Ooh, who knows? Selling corn.
Is he going to be a head
Kansas?
Coach somewhere? Ever again? I mean, he was really good at UCF. He said, Chris, that Wolverine blood might kick in for Russell Wilson this weekend. 970 texting in. What are Angels picks this weekend? Is this the guy that picks against you?
What are we picking?
I don't know. We got Broncos? What can pick? You know what? Since we don't have a lot of picks, I'm not going to make this count toward my real picks, but we could pick all the NFL games.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's see. Let's do it and see how we do against each other. That'll be fun. Because I got to tell you, my local picks, now that I'm not picking, you know, I'll pick Wyoming at some point, right? When does Wyoming play their bowl game? What bowl game
are
they
in? A bowl game?
They won six, didn't they? They won like seven or eight. What are they in? Like the Saskatchewan Beef Jerky Bowl or something like that? Potato Bowl?
They're in the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl versus Ohio.
Barstool Sports bought a bowl game, huh?
That is on Friday, December 30th.
How much do you think a bowl game, like for us to go say, hey, the whole show, bowl game. I wonder how much that would cost us. Hooligans, what do you think? You guys all pitch in a few bucks, we can make this work.
Tickets are like 15 bucks.
So it can't, what do you think? It cost them $1 million to sponsor that? Barstool? They make good money. I mean, what's his face? Portnoy, rich dude. Holyoke saying, the only bowl I care about is a good chicken teriyaki bowl. Mm. Or the KFC bowl. Ooh, have you ever had the KFC bowl? That's a good bowl. Oh, my God. I haven't had one of those in a while.
I used to get two of those, have one for dinner, and then lunch the next day.
If I'm hungry enough, I could plow through both those things. I mean, I enjoy fast food probably more than I should. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Are you picking the Broncos to win, or are you going to wait till the picks?
I will wait till the picks.
Wait till the picks at the end. I'm 35 and 32. I really started.
Positive.
Yeah, you said you'd be proud of me if I got a few games over 500, right? So I'm sitting at three over, and I got four more weeks left. And Wyoming is my only local team, right? Air Force got into a bowl. They're going to be in a bowl game, right?
I believe so.
So I got to pick Air Force and Wyoming. So I still have Wyoming and Air Force. UNC's done. CU's done. CSU's done. So yeah. I'll have Wyoming and Air Force at some point. This texter here from the 970. As soon as they started the BCS playoff, all other bowls became meaningless. It'd be like two basketball teams scrimmaging since they didn't make the tournament. It's pointless. That's how I view it, but I get where you're coming from because it's like it's still football. If you like football enough, you still have football on the tube that you can watch and enjoy. But yeah, like right now, I'm sitting here in the studio. Angel told me the game was on. I turned it on. Great. I'm going to watch it. But do I necessarily care? No, not really. What do we got? Lonster? What's up, Lonster?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing pretty good, man. I'm hanging in there.
You know what? You're not the only one, you know? You know, I have to agree with some of these bowl games. Some of these bowl games, it's like, who cares?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Angel, can you get Zach? We'll get Zach on the line at the break. Now that a good chunk of them are going to be playoff games, this one wouldn't be a playoff game. But I like that, because there's going to be what? There's going to be like...
So the first round in this new 12-team playoff, the first round will be played at the higher seeds home stadium. The quarterfinals and semifinals will be the New Year's Six bowl games.
Okay. Yeah, we're getting there. Lonster, what else is on your mind? You think Rush should play this weekend?
No.
No? Just shut him down for the year or shut him down for this weekend?
Just shut him down for the weekend and let him heal up, Luke, because if he gets hit again, we're going to be in a major trouble on this one.
He could. And if he's really the future, which, again, the money ties you to him whether you want to admit it or not, interesting. Lonster, what's for lunch today, man?
Hey, we're going to be having Chinese food.
Nice. What, you doing like what Holyoke said, a chicken teriyaki bowl or something like that?
You know what? We're going to have some kind of shrimp bowl or some kind of beef bowl, and then maybe some egg rolls and some rice and the whole nine yards.
Sounds good to me, man. Christmas weekend meal kind of deal?
We do this about every Friday. We go out and have lunch and stuff.
All right, Lonster. You be careful out there, man. Don't get blown away.
You know what? Yeah, you do the same there. Just keep it hanging there.
All right, I will. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. He said, Chris, you guys could get there early for Radio Row Week. For the Super Bowl or for the Wyoming Cheeto Bowl or whatever they're going to do? Wyoming and Ohio. like Wyoming, it's like, oh, it's good. You won enough games to get into a bowl game. Now I don't really care. Will I watch it? Sure. Does it mean anything to me? I never really look at the records after that because I'm like, yeah, you play like 3 weeks after the season. Are these guys really in that mode anymore? Heck, half the team's in bowls. Their coaches are either out the door or they're on their way out the door. So, yeah, 36 minutes after the hour, let's get Zach Stevens on the program coming up next. He's our Broncos insider. What does he think about Russell Wilson? We'll get into that, get his thoughts on this Broncos-Cardinals matchup, too, and so much more. First, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Speaking of Mr. Zach Stevens, here he is. He's our Broncos insider with DNVR Broncos. Nobody better than Mr. Stevens. Zach, my man, first one for you. What do you think about Russell Wilson? Is he going to play this weekend? How's he looking with his concussion protocol situation?
You know, Brady, he's flying through the concussion protocol. I fully expect him to play, but we're going to get a lot more information on that fully and solidified probably right around the end of your show, right around 1:15 is when we'll be getting the update on Russ if he has officially passed concussion protocol. But everything that I've seen from Russ on the field, talking to people behind it, the scenes, he is really progressing through the concussion protocol. I fully expect him to be passed through that protocol today. And really the only thing that would hold him back from playing is Nathaniel Hackett, George Payton, or Greg Penner saying, "We can't have you out there playing a week after sustaining a concussion when you were clearly knocked out on the field, and we can't have that." However, Brady, Nathaniel Hackett's not going to hold him back. George Payton's not going to hold him back. They both need a win, and they both believe that Russell Wilson gives them the best chance to win. And number one, Russell Wilson is not going to hold himself back. So really the only person that I think gets Russell Wilson not to play this week is Greg Penner, coming from all the way from the top and saying, "You're our $250 million investment. You're not going to play." And I just don't expect that to happen. So I don't think Russ should play just a week after sustaining what appeared to be such a severe concussion. But I do think that he's going to play. He's been throwing the ball the past 2 days and practiced yesterday.
Interesting. Well, and again, if you're Nathaniel Hackett, you want to have your guy out there, the best chance to win, because I don't know where we are on Nathaniel Hackett. I don't know what inside, you know, those meetings look like right now. But if you beat Arizona, it's certainly only going to help your case. So Hackett's going to want the best he can get out there.
Yeah, 100%. Nathaniel Hackett needs to win this game in order to have any chance to be the head coach next year. And I do think that there's a path for Nathaniel Hackett to be back next year. I certainly think if the Broncos go 3-1 over these final four games, and it's because the offense plays well, not great, but well, I think there's a clear path for Nathaniel Hackett to be back. However, if they lose to the Cardinals, Brady, they're not going to win another game this year. This is the most winnable game by far. So if they lose this one, you're talking about like over a 10-game losing streak that Nathaniel Hackett will be on to end the season, and that's just going to be a really tough sell. And look, on top of that, I think the offense needs to score 24 points in three of the final four games in order to show that the offense is finally picking up. And you know what? This Arizona Cardinals team is as bad as you can get on defense. Vance Joseph's unit is the worst in the NFL, giving up 27 points per game. So if there's any game that the Broncos are going to build off their 28-point performance last week, it's this one against the Cardinals at home. But you really got to have Russ in order to do that.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Man, at the beginning of the season, Zach, you looked at this matchup, and I didn't know how good Arizona would be. I certainly didn't think they'd be 4-9. But you looked at this one and said, man, this is going to be kind of a meaningful game for both teams. Maybe they're on the cusp of playoffs, both needing a win to improve upon that record. But here we sit, Denver 3-10, Cardinals 4-9. Their quarterback is done, maybe even into a good chunk of next season. We're still waiting to see what happens with Russell Wilson. It's amazing how the season can take its toll on all of our predictions and everybody's goals throughout the course of the season.
Oh my gosh, you're 100% right. Instead of being an exciting game with two potentially playoff-bound teams, with two exciting electric dynamic quarterbacks, this is the sleeper bowl this week, Brady. I mean, how this is such a tough sell. 3-10 going up against 4-9. And you can argue that the Arizona Cardinals have more dysfunction in their entire organization on the field, their long-term future, than the Broncos. And the Broncos have a worse record than them. So you're so right. This is such a disappointing game. And it's just another year where the Broncos are just playing very meaningless football in December.
Well, and it goes back to kind of our conversation earlier this week, Zach, about how much did Sunday change people's minds as far as what, you know, the future looks like with Nathaniel Hackett. And I don't know, man. I just go back and forth. I'm just tired. I'm tired of coaching carousel and a quarterback carousel here. So there is this part of me that's really, you know, looking forward to this game, even though it's terrible. You're right, it's a sleeper bowl. But I would love Nathaniel Hackett to win a few games here, score those 24 points like you talked about, and maybe we run it back. But I get the other side, too. I mean, Hackett has not been good for 90% of the season. Even if he shows something in these final four games, it might not mean anything.
Brady, there's no doubt that what you're saying is right. The best thing for the organization is for Nathaniel Hackett to figure it out, and he has to show signs that he's figuring it out in these final four games in order for him to be back. Look, he's not going to be back if the team is 3-14 and you lose to a dysfunctional Cardinals team. You lose to the Rams, who are on their third string quarterback in Baker Mayfield. You have to show progress, but as much as people don't want Nathaniel Hackett back next year, it's a tough sell to just be hiring head coaches and cycling through head coaches. And not only is it a tough sell to a new head coach, but it's also at some point you have to keep continuity with an offensive staff, with an offensive regime. And the best thing is that Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett figure it out and build on this throughout the offseason. But, of course, if he doesn't figure it out and the Broncos win 3 or 4 games this year, you're going to be moving on. But you also have to take into account, are you going to be able to get a great head coach in the offseason? Sean Payton, the Broncos' job is not an attractive one, and you have to keep that in mind. And so the top head coaching candidates, while the Broncos can pay them more money than anyone else, they're probably not in it just for the money. So the Broncos may be going after another first-time head coach and taking a gamble. Now, they could hit on that, or they can swing and miss again.
Well, and there's just no guarantee. You know, if you come in here and you're wanting to revive your coaching career, whatever it is, Dan Quinn, Sean Payton, if Russell Wilson isn't good, then there you go. I mean, this could be another bad year next year for the Broncos, yeah, Regardless of who that coach is. So would you want to risk that knowing, man, Russell Wilson, I bet you could put every would-be coach or current coach on a lie detector test and ask him about Russell Wilson, and they'd all say the same thing, is, yeah, we don't know about this guy.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know how anyone could be convinced that Russell Wilson is the Russell Wilson that he was in Seattle. Now, last week was great to see a flash and see a glimpse of hope, see those three touchdowns, see him scrambling. But in reality, when you take a step back, Brady, that's one game this season where you've really seen it. Maybe the other second best game is week one against Seattle, and the Broncos still were only able to put up 16 points in that performance. So you would be crazy to say that, oh, yeah, Russell Wilson's completely fine. And when you're a head coach looking at a job, especially if you're an offensive head coach, which is what the Broncos absolutely need, the first and foremost thing that you look for is the quarterback. And right now you see an aging Russell Wilson that potentially is not just on the decline but has already dropped off. That's, again, why this job is not going to be the most enticing job out there. So I think you're right, Brady. I think you're taking a big gamble in the off season with getting a coach that either is going to be a first time head coach, or you're taking a gamble on a coach that's been a good coach before, but not a great one, and you're just kind of hoping to get someone here to even out the ship, and then you're going to have to hire someone else to take you over the top in a couple of years.
All right, Zach. So what do the Broncos have to do here? What scares you about this 4-9 Cardinals team that we should be worried about coming up on Sunday?
Oh, my gosh. Not much, Brady. Not much. I mentioned how bad their defense is. The worst in the NFL. Now, I will give credit to the Cardinals. They looked half decent on defense against the New England Patriots, specifically in the first half. And they do have talent on their defense. But their defense is way worse than their talent is collectively, which is just weird. Doesn't look very good for Vance Joseph himself. And on the offensive side of the ball, what does scare you about this team is the weapons that they have, and it starts with DeAndre Hopkins. You can't let DeAndre Hopkins go off, and he's gone off for over 100 yards a couple of times this year. And remember, he was suspended the first six games of the season, and he's still putting together a very solid season. So put Pat Surtain on him, and Pat Surtain, this game reminds me a lot of the two games against Devontae Adams. The first game that Pat Surtain went up against Devontae Adams, it's not like he completely shut him down. Devontae Adams still had six or eight catches for, 60 yards. If Pat Surtain does that to DeAndre Hopkins, that is a beautiful game. That's a perfect game for him. What you can't do is you can't let DeAndre Hopkins get over the top, go for multiple touchdowns, go for over 100 yards like Devontae Adams did on Pat Surtain the second time they played. So just keep DeAndre Hopkins in front of you. And then they also have other good weapons, and another one is James Conner. He's really good running back, really good at finding the end zone. But they have Colt McCoy playing quarterback. Colt McCoy can run an offense, but he should not be able to beat you. And this Broncos defense, while they did have their worst game of the season last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, this is a much easier task going up against the Cardinals with a backup quarterback than it is the Kansas City Chiefs. And so, Brady, as you can kind of hear, I think the Broncos will win. They should win. And if there's any hope of building momentum for the end of this season, for Nathaniel Hackett, for this team, it is with a win this week. And I think the Broncos pull it off. And dare I say, they scored 24 points for the second time this season in back-to-back weeks.
How about that? And maybe we're having a little more hope, too, about Nathaniel Hackett. We'll change that conversation back up for next week. Zach, my man, I know you got to get rolling. Appreciate you as always. We're looking forward to your coverage of this game coming up on Sunday.
Brady, you're the man. Thanks for having me on.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. He kind of likes the Broncos to win and put some points on the board. Put a lot of points on the board. Well, 24. It's a lot for Denver. It's a lot for Denver, 11:52 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Our game beer of the week, courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor, is from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins, Juicy Tempo IPA. Pick up selections from Odell's or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor. They also have a drive-thru. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every day. And then today, this evening, 4 to 7 o'clock, at On the Rocks Liquor, the great folks from Eagle Rock Distributors will be on hand with tequilas and wines to taste. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I don't have a lot of time left, so I'll read some of these texts on the other side. And, you know, the Jerry Jeudy stuff is coming out, too, of what's going to happen to him. And, you know, he got fined $23,000 initially for making contact with an official this past weekend. He got another fine on top of that. Said he was fined $13,261 for removing his helmet while on the field. So, in total, he was fined $36,281 for unsportsmanlike conduct in last Sunday's loss to the Chiefs. $36,000. I wonder if the Broncos offense will help pitch in for some of that. Because what he did kind of fired everybody up, man. Maybe that was what they needed. One of their guys to show a little fight. We'll talk about the Broncos-Cardinals game coming up throughout the show today. Nuggets-Lakers tonight, too. Some interesting college games as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.